From the 1920s to 1970, there was a thriving hotel and resort industry for Jews in the Catskill Mountains. This was called the Borscht Belt. Anti-Semitism flared in the 1920s, fueling the creation of the Belt, since these hotels were a safe haven for Jews looking for a getaway. In its peak, the Borscht Belt was very popular and was the home to many shows with celebrities such as Woody Allen and Joan Rivers. Tanya Grossinger specifically recalls in an interview with the Jewish Advocate forging a friendship with the baseball player Jackie Robinson at the hotel, which was owned by her uncle. She says the hotels went out of style as Jewish discrimination became less of a problem and the women's lib movement took place, making it so women were not coming to the hotels specifically to find a husband anymore. The quote-unquote golden age of the Belt lasted until about 1965, when plans to Europe and the Caribbean became cheaper. In the 1970s, the Borscht Belt were in the decline, and by the early 1980s, only a handful were still open. Today, the vacation destination for Jews is basically non-existent, although many former Borscht Belt hotels have turned into summer camps. My own family was shaped by the Borscht Belt. The camp called Camp Wayne was where my grandmother, Beth, worked in the kitchen for my mom's entire childhood with her best friend, Rose. Camp Wayne for boys used to be a Borscht Belt hotel, but by the time my mother was growing up across the lake at its sister camp for girls, it was just a summer camp. My grandfather, Lester, spent years at Camp Wayne, as well as years on the Borscht Belt. He's here today to talk to us about it. So I'm here with my grandfather, Lester, for Thanksgiving. He's going to talk to us about the Borscht Belt.
Hello. Interesting. I got into the Borscht Belt when I was a young boy. My parents rented a bungalow, probably in the 1950s, early 1950s, in Monroe, New York, Orange County. It happened to be an old estate of the Singer Sewing Machine Empire. And the Singer, the owners, were a family that made sewing machines. And they became super wealthy. And they bought a mountain on that had a lake below it. And it was Walton Lake was the name of the lake, probably still Walton Lake. And my parents formerly used to rent bungalows in the Rockaways for the summers, which were very hot, and we lived in the city, so we did it as an escape. And I loved the summers because we would go to these different kind of locations. Then, and the lake was below us. It was a beautiful place. And so that was my first contact really with the Borscht Belt. And I say Borscht Belt because Monroe, New York was then part of the Catskills.
Tell me about the food you guys ate at the Borscht Belt.
In those years, the food we ate, my mother did the shopping. We lived as a family. Well, basically, the foods I ate all year round. My mother did the cooking. We didn't go out. There weren't restaurants at that time like there are today. You didn't have Burger Queens and McDonald's. You didn't have fast foods. You had the Big Apple Red Apple, which was a famous stopover on the way up to the Catskills. And they had maybe hot dogs and, like Nathan's kind of food. But my mother was a basic, I was going to say chef, but she wasn't a great cook. My mother, breakfast was like cold cereal. She would always try to have me eat hot cereal, which I didn't like. But it was eggs, and lunch was a sandwich, just like today. Maybe not as exciting. And dinners were, meat and potatoes and that kind of thing. And that's how my mother cooked. So basically, it was really food is a lot more exciting today than then. It really wasn't the focus of anything then. It was just survival.
So you worked at Camp Brookwood?
At 16.
Okay.
And they made a job for me.
Fabulous.
And I couldn't be a counselor. I was too young. And I couldn't. And the waiters, and they had 33 waiters. That's how large the camp was.
Yeah.
And they attracted the super wealthy people of New York or the East Coast, and movie star, children of movie stars, and that camp had everything. They made a job for me, and I was the bread boy, and I was the guy that would cut up the breads. They had their own bakery. In those days, the camps did everything themselves. They had bakers and chefs from the hotels or the colleges when they were off during the summer. And so they made me the bread boy. And I recall, and there were Jewish camps, so Friday night there were services. And we had challahs, and I would cut up the challahs, and I was shown how to do it. And so I would service the waiters, and there were 33 of them, which is a lot, enormous. Mm-hmm. Of course, there were over 300 children.
Wow.
In the camp. And would have, the canteen was right adjacent to where they had the horses in the stable, so you would smell in the canteen. Ew. Where they had the jukebox and the Frank Sinatra and Johnny Mathis songs of the day, the love stories, and whenever I hear music from that time, it brings me right back. I mean, I could hear Johnny Mathis singing. I could be part of it. I recall, but I was very shy. These guys weren't. Anyway, I had a great summer with them, and they really accepted me, and I slept in a upper bunk.
Years later, my grandfather married my grandma Beth, and they made their way over to Camp Wayne.
My friends were hired to work at Camp Wayne, and so it seemed like a good idea that my family would go, and Beth would work there. Beth's background was extensive in camping. She went to camp all of her life, started as a baby, because her father was a head counselor. And so it seemed like a good idea. Beth was hired as a group leader the first summer. And the second summer, I think she was worked on in the campus as a camp mother. And then the third summer, she worked in the kitchen. There was an opening in the kitchen to do the ordering that was being done by the father, the owner of the camp. And he wanted somebody to learn how he ordered. And camps, you know, fed 300 people at each meal. So you're talking about very large quantities of food, and food is expensive. So it's a very important area. And Beth learned the pricing and what were the best places to buy it. And that was her original role. Her role expanded to oversee the entire kitchen on Girls Camp, which included a chef. And the chef was a top chef who worked at Columbia University as their main dining room chef at Columbia. And during the summers, they were basically off, the chefs. The schools weren't open, so they worked in camps. And this chef, Richie, was phenomenal. And, of course, you have a guy, you know, more than just the chef, and they had just a staff of about a half a dozen people. And Beth was the overseer of that staff, and eventually the overseer of the waitresses that served the food. They had a separate person to oversee the waitresses, and Beth was the overseer, the supervisor of that person. That person was Rose, her dear friend. And they ran that kitchen for like 20 summers. Total, we were there 26 summers at Camp Wayne, and I would come up weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and go back to my job, leaving Sunday night or Monday morning very early. We had a phenomenal life at camp. We lived in a large building, like communal kind of living. We had like an apartment there. Our children went to camp as when the camp started. We would go up to camp actually a couple weeks before and stay a couple weeks after camp closed, and had lovely times. Labor Day weekend, and they were very, very special times. The people we lived with became very, very special friends. And their children became like our children. And they all became like one giant family. We called it the extended family. And to this day, the children of the people that worked at camp and those people are part of our extended family. We share dinners together and holidays together and vacations together and all those things. And it's been going on since 1971 when we started at Camp Wayne.